Hey, how's it going? How you been? What's scrappin'?
The weekly scratch, motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps. I gotta be pretty quiet. I'm at an Airbnb right now down in kind of like the Brickell area of Miami. Got a lot of things in the works. Been doing a couple of shoots a lot regularly. A couple weeks ago, I did a couple of background roles. And today, well, actually, it started yesterday. Well, let me rewind first. You know, I had a long day, rough day on Tuesday, a lot of drama, you know, so decided to take the edge off. Was going to go home, have a couple of drinks by myself, work on some of my projects and my technique videos. And then, you know, I speak to my boys in a group chat, tell them like, yeah, I don't know if anyone wants to come hang out, to come get a drink or something, I'd be down. No one answered, you know, everyone's busy. And then one of my boys in the group chat actually responded and he said, yeah, I'll be down to come out and have a drink with you. And we ended up going. And then while we were out, a couple of emails that I sent out during the day, one of them finally got picked up. We were kind of going back and forth, but then it ended up becoming solidified. So they asked for me to be there tomorrow at 11 a.m., which was Wednesday. Today's Thursday. Could not make it happen. But I told them I could be there later in the evening, which is what they originally asked for. And I said I could definitely do 4, but 11 a.m. definitely can't. Had to cut my hair because I cut my hair myself. I had to get that taken care of. I woke up at 6:30 in the morning. I had a pack. I was out drinking margaritas, you know, so I was a little lit. But we managed to make it here on time yesterday, and I did a lot of swimming. This is going to be a TV show. It's supposed to, I can't give away too much because I don't know what the rules and regulations are on that. I don't want to get in trouble this early into like my potential acting career, so I'm not going to say too much on that. But it was cool. I didn't know I was going to be in a wetsuit with this guy. When I pulled up on the set, he looked at me and was like, well, that's new information. I'm like, well, this is new information. You guys didn't tell me I was going to have to be doing all this. It was more so a TV shoot promo. And it turns out to be an entire TV show episode. And I'm like, this is insane. But put the wetsuit on. We managed to make it work. I had a ton of fun. Met some cool people. And we got one more day shooting tomorrow. Then I can finally go home and relax. But I might go out today. One of my boys, Reese, shout out to Team Global, Neville Local. My boy, Reese, Maurice Stoner, he's down here. He's a party promoter, big time party promoter out here, New York City, Ibiza, California, down to LA. So he's all over. He really is global and even in other countries. So I might go hang out with him tonight. But other than that, man, we had a good time with the shoot, and I didn't get to break down the fights. I wasn't sure if I was going to have time, but looks like nothing but space and opportunity because I didn't book a room till today. Good thing my friend allowed me to stay at his house yesterday, crashed there for the night. He gave me his daughter's room, and I couldn't do that again. And on top of that, the next shoot is going to be all the way down at Craydon Park Beach, which is all the way down by Key Biscayne. So for me to be all the way before Lauderdale doesn't make a ton of sense, then to drive all the way back down, Uber that way, Uber this way. I'm like, yeah, I might as well just spend the money on an Airbnb near the actual set and get that taken care of. But okay, so a couple of fights. One that really interests me is this guy, Grigory Popov. He's back. I remember when he took the fight on his debut fight against Eddie Wineland in Chicago. That was a big fight. Really crazy. Started off like he was going to have his way in his debut against a tough veteran like Eddie Wineland. But next thing you know, Eddie Wineland comes back in Eddie Wineland fashion and gets the finish, which was pretty brutal. It was a pretty brutal fight for both guys. But Eddie Wineland definitely came out on top with less injury than the other guy. The other guy took some shots, Popov. He's taking on Davy Graham, who's a big dude from the English country, so it'd be good to see how well he's developed over the years. He was also on the Tough Show. I kept my eye on him for a while because I felt like he was a very, very huge bantamweight. And as it's starting to show, like, it doesn't matter about the size all the time because it's not always the bigger person who always wins the fight. It's about skills because skills pay the bills. So that's gonna be a fun fight. Now there's a lot of names on here that I cannot pronounce. I'm gonna fuck them up. Full disclosure, fucking them up. Probably once, twice, three, probably even six times. But full disclosure. Next fight. Ooh, Ruslan Khabibov up at welterweight, taking on Sergey Kondosko. Something like that. Don't know much about the other guy. I know a lot about Air Ruslan Khabibov. You know, I remember he fought Abel Trujillo. He said, "My job is to throw him. How he lands is his business." And I was like, that was the coldest thing I think I've ever heard in a long time since Ivan Drago and Rocky. And if he dies, he dies. So it kind of reminded me of something like that. My job, throw him. How he lands is his problem. He worries about that. That should be a fun fight. He's got a crazy, crazy wrestling pressure. A lot of takedowns. I want to see if he's developed any of his striking. I don't know much about the Sergey guy, but I'm going to be definitely paying attention to this one, especially with the downtime. And it should be a very fun fight. These Russian fighters are really starting to explode and take over these divisions that they are in. And starting to give a lot of us other guys from other countries a lot of problems because their style is very different. It's very grappling heavy for the most part, except if you're like the Kung Fu King in Solokov. He's a freaking beast on the feet. But for the most part, the most of these Russian fighters that I have seen of late have been samurais on the ground. All right, let's get into our main scraps. Shamil Gamzatov, 13-0, minus 205. Favorite taking on Kilsen Abreu. He's coming off of a win over Sam Alvey, unanimous decision. And before that, he lost to Magomed Ankalaev. And so he's 1-1 in the UFC. Gamzatov is making his debut. His last fight was a win over Rex Harris, PFL, and Eddie Gordon, PFL, who also used to train with us. I'm not sure if he's not retired or not, but I'm going to say he's probably... Yeah, he's probably there. I don't like saying it for people, but I'm going to say he's probably there. He's got a ton of new ventures going on. But Abreu is in plus 165 with a record of 15-3, taking on Gamzatov, who is minus 205 with a record of 13-0. And remember, these odds are brought to you guys by Bovada. That's where we're getting them from. And the record info is from Tapology. So if we fuck it up, it's not really our fault. Because, I don't know everybody's record off the top of my head. So, Tapology. Yeah. Next fight. Rocco Martin, who's a plus 135 underdog with a record of 16-5, taking on Ramazan Emiev, who is a minus 165 favorite with a record of 18-3. That record sounds familiar. I wonder who has that record. Let's start with Rocco Martin coming off of a lost majority decision to Damian Maia, who gave him some back and forth pushback, but at the end of the day, it wasn't even back and forth. Let me not say that. But he definitely gave a lot of resistance in a very tough Damian Maia, who just finished Ben Askren, who was supposed to be, you know, well renowned for his grappling. Rocco was able to hang in there, defend some tough position, land some good strikes, and like you see in the judge's decision, it was a majority decision for Damian Maia against Rocco Martin. Before that, he beat Sergio Moraes, Jake Matthews, Ryan LaFlair, and Kita Nakamura. And Emiev is... What do we got for him? He is 32. Oh, Marco's 29. Rocco's 29, yeah. Emiev is 5'11", coming off of a win over Stefan Sakulik and Alberta Mina and Sam Alvey. And before that, so he's 1-2. He's 3-0 in the UFC right now. Pretty big stuff. And he's a Russian fighter training out of Makhachkala, something like that. This podcast should just be the main fuck ups because for how many times I just butcher everybody's names. It's not on purpose. Zalim Imidayev, who is a minus 225 favorite with a record of 8-1, taking on a tough Danny Roberts with 16-5 record, who is a plus 175 underdog. Now, Imidayev, I'm not sure who this guy is, but he's fighting out of Moscow, Russia. And his one loss was his last fight against Max Griffin, majority decision. Actually, I remember watching that fight. I don't really remember how it went, but I definitely watched that fight. Because I thought the decision was going to go the other way. Excuse me, long day. But it went in favor of Max Griffin. Before that, he was fighting at Fight Nights Global. He is 24 years old and 6 feet tall. Okay. This is the welterweight division. And Danny Roberts is on a two-fight losing skid to Michael Pereira, flying knee punch, who came out doing all the crazy capoeira shit and just, he just does crazy man wild boy shit. Caught him slipping and got him out there in the first round, 1 minute, 47 seconds in. And he lost to Claudio Silva via armbar in the third round, 2 minutes and 37 seconds into the third. And before that, he beat David Zawada and Oliver Encamp. And before that, he lost to Nordin Taylor via finish 1 minute into the first round. So Roberts, I don't know. Sometimes he seems like he's on. Sometimes he seems like he's off. Like he's not really dialed in for the moment of the fight. Because he has some real standout moments. And then when he seems to lose getting caught in a very big way. And it just seems like there's probably... And it's not even just get caught in a very big way. It's early in the fight. It just seems to always be like under the half... The half of the round mark in the first round seems to me like after that, it seems like he's probably dialed in. But these losses where he's getting finished, for the most part, it seems like it just might be a little bit of a lapse of focus. I mean, the one with Claudio Silva, that's a very tough out. I remember that fight, a lot of scrambling, and he kind of fell into that one. It didn't seem like he was going to... It seemed like he was doing pretty well in that fight until that armbar moment where he set that up. But other than that, he seems to be a tough out for anybody. Split decision win over Zawada. And he finished Encamp via punches in round one. So you know he goes for it. And he also beat Bobby Nash by punches in round two. So he goes for it. So we got to see where's his mental state coming into this fight. So hopefully he's dialed in to give us a good performance. I know he had a really crazy back and forth fight with Mike Perry back in the day. Not even back in the day. In the UFC probably about a year or two ago at this point. And then I think Perry ended up finishing him towards the third round. I'll have to fact check that, but I'm pretty sure he did. Because it's not on this one. This one, fight just came to materialize. Greg Hardy, who is a plus 230 underdog with a 5-1 record and won no contest. And actually, 5-1 record that won is a no contest? I thought it was a loss. I don't know. Crowded. Yeah, it was a... They sent a loss column. Should be a no contest. I thought it was a no contest. Oh, Ben Sassoli was a no contest because of the inhaler. So he's 5-1-1. He's taking on a very tough Alexander Volkov, minus 300 favorite with a record of 31-6. He's been around the world. He's been around the world. He is fighting out of Moscow, Russia, who came off of a 11-second. So 11 seconds remaining in the very third round against Derek Lewis. That's all he needed to win the fight. And he gets caught. And he gets finished. Crazy. In emphatic fashion. Insane. But before that, he was on a tear. Beat Fabricio Werdum via punches. Stefan Struve via punches. Decision over Roy Nelson and split decision over Timothy Johnson. And before that, punches at M1 Global over Attila Vey. So he's a finisher. This guy looks like he goes out there and he goes for it with a record of 30-7. It's pretty impressive. But it says 31-6. They did not count the last one. I don't know. I guess he's 31-6 or 30-7. I have two different records on here. It's not my fault. Please don't kill me. His nickname is Drago. He's 31 years old. And Greg Hardy's 31 years old. We all know his story. Volkov was actually supposed to fight Alistair Overeem. That fight ended up being canceled. And Greg Hardy ended up stepping in for this one, which now is a very big fight and a big step up in opportunity for Greg Hardy to see if he is the real deal or if the UFC has really just been sandbagging us, which most of us hardcore fans seem to think that he's kind of been getting... The gimme fights that he is physically more capable of winning in just a physical standpoint. It doesn't even matter about the technique. If he's just using his physicality, it was those type of matches where he should just win, even if the guy's so much better. It's like me playing a guy in basketball who's 6 feet tall, can't shoot for shit, but he's tall enough to just reach up over me, grab rebounds, and just put it back in the basket just by backing me down. His skills aren't that great. I'm just a lot smaller than him. If you see the analogy there, I hope that makes sense. So I'm really looking forward to this. Greg Hardy's last win was over Juan Adams. Hammer fist, 45 seconds in. I thought that one would have gone to Juan. Juan got caught in a very tough position and got finished. Now, I don't have anything against Greg Hardy, but he's definitely not my favorite guy. Anyone who puts their hands on a woman in a fashion like that, especially with his physique and his size, that's some scary fucked up shit. And I think you have to be a little bit loose in the wheelhouse to want to do something like that, to get in that type of a rage level over a female. I mean, I don't know what she did. Maybe she shit in his Cheerios. Maybe she put bleach in his shampoo. Something crazy that might have caused him to bug out. But I don't think it ever causes you to bug out unless the girl's got a gun or something or a knife and she's coming at you to attack you. I don't think there's any real rational reason for a guy of his size and stature or any guy in that breadth to put their hands on a woman. And I grew up with a lot of that in my household. So that's something that definitely does not sit well and bothers me maybe more so than most other people because I've seen it. I've lived it. You know, so it's definitely a different effect that it's had on me and probably why I'm a little bit more resentful watching him fight in terms of giving him his props for getting to this state and this level as fast as he has. Maybe that's more so because of his popularity, and it's not even popular. He's infamous for that incident, and now he's here, and we're dealing with it. So here we are. Now, our main event, Calvin Kattar. I don't know if it's Kattar or Kattar, but I call him Kattar. I always say, yo, what up, Calvin? What up, Kattar? So he responds. He never corrected me. So I'm going to go with that's what it is. Calvin Kattar with a record of 20-3, who is a +225 underdog, ranked 11th in the division, taking on Zabit, who's ranked 5th, Magomed Sharipov, who is 17-1, who is also a -285 favorite. Now, this is a big fight. Zabit hasn't lost in a while. The one time he did lose, I believe it was via decision. I would have to look that up, but it was such a long time ago. He just seems like a completely different animal. When he's out there, Abe Lincoln just does not seem to be fazed by anything. He's just out there, calm, cool, collective, and just doing his thing. Inside leg kicks, outside leg kicks, running off the cage, spinning back fists, spinning back kicks, spinning wheel kicks. He doesn't give a fuck. And his wrestling. If you think his striking is phenomenal, his wrestling is even better than that, if you ask me. And I don't think he utilizes it enough. I think he enjoys the striking, but I know he knows deep down that he is definitely a better wrestler, better grappler than he is a striker. And again, that's saying something because his striking is insane. It's like playing a fucking Tekken video game. Not Mortal Kombat. Yeah, Tekken. We'll go with Tekken. He's like the Eddie Gordo. He could do all that crazy capoeira shit. He could do any type of harangue or law. Like, what's up with that? All that kind of stuff. But that's what makes this fight so interesting because you got Kattar, who's primarily a better boxer. And I've trained with Zabit, and I didn't do too well. But the points that I did do well were with the grappling. And that was off my back because he took me down. He threw me to the ground a couple of times. And I had no choice. I had to just go down. I got bullied. It was like man versus child. I want to say they told me he was like, oh, he's like maybe like 170. I believe he was like 180 pounds at the time. First time training with him. And he was throwing some crazy ninja shit. I would touch the lead leg and then spinning wheel kick. And I had never seen this up close and personal like that at that speed, at that weight, and that mass and size throwing shit like that at you. And it was honestly one of the scarier things that I had to deal with, but it helped me out so much going into the future. He did crack me, and it fucked me up, gave me some vertigo. If it was a fight, it probably would have been ruled a KO. I mean, I wasn't out, but I was definitely down for the count. Like, as he hit me, I fell backwards, and I fell back in slow motion. I hit the cage. The cage catches me. I kind of catch myself up, and then I kind of just take a seat. And he turns his head, and he turns back around, and I kind of wave it off. And I was actually watching this video the other day in my living room, and it was rough to watch it. I was like, ooh, that stings. I covered my head, I ducked, and I turned. So the kick comes wrapping around the backside and claps me in the back. Boom. I drop, and I was out. I was out. There was really nothing I could do at that point. The coaches came in. I told them I was good, but I was like, yo, I'm definitely not good, but I'm done. Like, I know that one strike did some damage. It was definitely a damaging strike. You know what they say, man, the ones you don't see, I closed my eye for that split second, it whacked me. It sounded like a baseball bat because of the shin guards. Clack. And like I said, I felt like I went down. I'm watching him fixated in slow motion. Unlike the Marlin, I was out. I don't remember any of that. I saw the knee, boom, lights out. Delirious, whatever. I don't remember any of that delirium. This, I actually remember seeing him walking around, and I'm like, no, I was just like, yo, I'm fucked up. So, whatever you want to rule that as. TKO, KO. I mean, he didn't follow up. It was pretty much the walk off. If the ref seen that, he probably would be like, yeah, you're looking like you might need a little ice bag on your head, kid. But yeah, Cater is more so better with the hands. And I do think with Zabit, I being the smaller, lighter guy, I was doing well with the boxing when we were sparring. But again, it wasn't like I was landing anything crazy. It was just like a jab here or there or something like that. Nothing crazy. But I felt that was the only place, because the one time I threw a kick, he caught it. He steps in and he reaps my peg leg. So I threw a switch kick from the lead leg side. He catches it. And I threw it pretty fast and pretty hard. I thought I would have been okay. But he eats it, catches it. My leg stays up there. And then he turns to his left, steps in and reaps and kicks out my leg with his left leg. And I go flying. That's one of the takedowns I was talking about. So it was really cool training with him. Definitely beat up on me. And the one time I had a submission in the very first round, I went for a straight arm lock. I shot in, he took me down. And I go for a straight arm lock for my guard, throw the legs up over the back. And I locked him down, and I even watched the video, his elbow was hyperextended. And I'm like, most guys would tap from that. But he's so long and dangly, and obviously tough. He wasn't going to, if you tap from one of those type of arm bars, it does say something about you. So I think that does say a lot about him not tapping and that being that his arm was so compromised. But again, that's just saying what I was able to do well. And when I see him fight all these other guys, I'm like, it makes sense. I know exactly what you're going through. That sucks. This position sucks too. When he's fighting Kyle Bakniak, he takes him down. When he's fighting Brandon Davis, he takes him down. Who was the other one he just fought? Jeremy Stevens, he takes him down. I'm like, yep, I get it. I've been there. And it does not feel good. And you guys don't have shin guards on. And no headgear, and he's not really looking to be nice. So this makes it very interesting, because I think Cater's boxing could pose problems. Again, I'm a lot smaller. Cater is 5'11", Zabit is 6'1", I'm 5'7". So I think that should play a huge difference in this matchup. Zabit's reach is 73, and Cater's is 72. Cater knocked out Ricardo Lamas, which was an insane knockout. Very first round, 4 minutes and 6 seconds in, and it was pinpoint accurate, just bop, bop. And we saw Lamas in the back room, and he looked sharp. He looked good to go, like he was going to chop down his legs. They were working that calf kick in the back. And I thought he was going to go out there and implement a very good game plan, it seemed like, to chop down the legs of a boxer in a boxer stance. And he wasn't able to really get that going or utilize his wrestling. So this matchup is super fun, super interesting to see. Can Cater hang with a guy like Zabit, who's super diverse with his attacks and super good fighting backwards? He fights well going backwards. And he's even more of a nightmare when he's going forward. And when he's running off the cage, if you get cornered and if you're slowing down before him, that could be tough. Now, this is a 5-round fight. That is the difference. We've seen Zabit look like he was slowing down against Kyle Bakniak. And, of course, you get tired from beating someone's ass. Let's call it what it is. He was kicking ass against Kyle Bakniak. Bakniak is just super tough, super gritty, and just kept moving forward. Kind of like when I was fighting Pedro. He ate a lot of shots, but he wasn't going to quit. Kept coming forward, and I knew that going in. So it helped me prepare even more to make sure I know mentally you got to be able to go there and not get phased by this guy walking down like the Terminator. Botniak doing the same thing, slipping, sticking his tongue out, then getting into a straight up phone booth in the pocket brawl. And Zabit landed still in that while he was exhausted, landed the better of those exchanges off the cage with his back against the cage, slipping, waiting, lining him up with the right hand and coming back with the left, lining, slipping again, and then lining him back up with the right hand. And I was like, boom, and he's connecting every single time. So there's so many different variables that goes into this. I just don't think Cater's going to have the wrestling to deal with a guy like Magomed Sharipov. If he wants to take it to the ground, he will be able to take it to the ground, in my opinion. I know Jeremy Stephens was able to stop some of those, but I don't think Cater's primarily a grappler. But we can see if maybe he implements something like a Kevin Lee ally Quinta fight stance. And I will say, I said this before too, I do believe Lee kind of ripped that stance off of... He had a great win over Gregory Gillespie, but I will reiterate that I do believe he mimicked that stance a bit off of Ally Quinta, because it's the same thing. You got a guy who's a really good grappler who's fell in love with the boxing in Al, fighting a tough grappler in Kevin Lee, who can kick really, really high and very, very flexible. And Al fought him before. He knew he was going to primarily look for the takedown, not try to outbox him like he tried to do the first time. And Al had that low boxing stance, and it was hard for him to penetrate it. And Lee did the same thing against Gillespie. Stuffed the one-shot attempt that Gregor actually went for, and just utilizing the jab in a low crouching stance, leaning heavy on that front foot. So we'll see if Cater can... I don't think Zabit's going to be looking to wrestle right away, though. I think he's going to fall, like I said, fall in love with the striking. And I think if he gets too comfortable with the striking, we'll see how Cater can handle the kicking game of a guy like Zabit. Because when he fought Moicano, he had a very, very tough day. And Moicano just chopped down his legs. Chopped down his legs. And he looked great in the back room. Cater did. Because I was in the back room for that fight. And that was the difference. So if Zabit utilizes his range with the kicks and his speed, because I do think he's probably going to be a little bit faster. Because he doesn't really throw super heavy with the hands. But he's out there. He's accurate. And he'll throw. And it's just more so speed. Kind of looks like Masvidal when he throws. It's just like, pop, pop, pop. It's not really like putting much mustard on it unless he's got you compromised and he knows he can load up and lean into those punches, into those strikes. So he's more about the fast hands, fast kick, and just being like the way of the ninja warrior. So super fun fight. I can't wait for this one. Moicano was a better striker who used more diversity against Cater. He struggled with that. So I'm wondering if it's going to be more so that same story. But the five-round factor should play a big difference if he can stick it out and hang in there. And if he does get taken down, would he be able to get back up? We're going to find out this weekend. UFC Russia. Other than that, man, I think we're good. I like that. It was short and sweet. Ooh, Masvidal got 500K for UFC 244. I didn't know that. Somebody told me it was 350. And Canelo made 35 million. No wonder he wants to fight Canelo. That would be a good fight. So, other than that, man, we're chilling. I'm about to go meet him, link up with my boys. I'm going to get this up for you guys. Hopefully, we get the proper thumbnails. And again, guys, please, if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit. Or spinning. Bah! Back fist. Uno out.